take your seats. Brian, what kind of handshake did you come up with just then? Anything fun? Yeah, it's just standard. It's good. It's good. It was too quiet the room. So great to be here this morning and to be able to come and bring the word. We know that each time when we come around God's word, that what we believe, it has the power to be able to change our lives, to be able to transform us as we apply that to our lives. So this morning we get ready to be able to open up the word, to be able to hear what God would say to each one of us. Whilst it was written so many thousand years ago, it is so applicable and pliable to our lives today. And that's what we believe in this place, that that word of God has just life to transform. Do we believe that? Are we ready for it? Let's go. Well, this week, as I was preparing to bring the message this week, I was looking up all different famous athletes. To be honest, I'm not one that, I enjoy playing sport. I don't really watch sport, any kinds, even netball. I love netball. I don't really watch sport. But I was reading up, and one of the soccer players, or some would call football player, Cristiano Ronaldo. Have I got that name right? Yes. Know him well. Everyone in the sounds like the room knows this guy. Reading his story, and what a profound story and life story he has. That he is, for those that don't know him, he is one of, they would say, the most famous world athletes. I'm not sure in comparison to LeBron, who Dean loves, and apparently all of True North love him also. I'm not sure where the comparison sits. We won't go there quite yet, but he's like worth $500 million, they say. That's what kind of elite athlete he is. And so in reading his story, where he came from is he was born into a family that didn't have a lot. He was one of four siblings, and he himself would go and help his mum clean streets. And it's this rags to riches type of story, but some would say. But really, he's a life that is so dedicated to something that he wanted to pursue. And so as I was reading, I could only imagine this story, that even in his life story, his mum would speak about, there was multiple times during this pregnancy with him that she was like, I don't know if I can go through with it even. And so you have this young boy, you have this man that started off with not a lot, helping his mum, helping his family. They didn't have a lot in his life. And yet, I can only picture and imagine as I was reading his story, what it would have been like when he received that call up, that first call up to say, you're going to be one of our world's athlete, that you're going to be on this international team, that you're going to be playing world soccer, that you're going to be in this league. I can only jump back and think, what was in his life from where he began to the call up and that preparation, the dedication, the diligence in his life that he would have had in his life to be able to get to this place where he would receive a call up to say, hey, this is an opportunity, an invitation to be one of the world's most famous athletes. This morning's story we're going to look at in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it talks about Samuel and how God called him. He had a call up. And in the life of Samuel, in the lead up to this call up of what God had over his life, what was his life like? That God's call, I believe, whilst it was very true for Samuel's life, is very true for each one of our lives. If we're here for the very first time, it's the first time in church, can I tell you, as Lisa mentioned, that each one of us, God has created and he has a plan and he has a purpose for each one. We will never arrive until the day we see Jesus face to face on that call. No matter how young or old or where we are, Dean has not arrived to what God wants to do in his life. That I have not arrived, that you have not arrived. And so we have this call out that Samuel receives this call from God. And in that, we're going to read and see what God, how he responds to that. What is the lead up to that in his life that will help us continue that call of God upon us. Are we ready? All right, let's go. We're on verse 1. It's my first time reading from the screen, so I'm just going to see how the eyesight goes. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision.
At this point, I'll just give you a little context to this story. So the boy Samuel here, his parents were trying for a long time to have a child. And Hannah was praying, God, can I have a child? And as a response of having this child, what they said is that this boy, we're going to dedicate him to God's service. We're going to, as soon as he was weaned, which was probably around 3 years old, they would say, that they took this child and they took him to the high priest, Eli, who was overseeing that tabernacle. Let me tell you, these days, I haven't come across yet where there has been a child brought to the True North Church. Say, Pastor Dean, will you just care for this child? This doesn't normally happen. But that is the context. So this family, that they were longing and wanting for this child. And they say, as that is the God, as God has given him to me, we are going to dedicate him for God's service. And so he is now placed in the tabernacle with the high priest Eli overseeing him. During this time, the Lord wasn't that present. There wasn't much frequent vision. There wasn't much going on. In fact, in the house as this high priest Eli, he has these two sons. They're a little bit wayward. They're a little bit out of control. They're doing all kinds of things that aren't priestly. As a family line, as a high priest, your family then become priests in that. It's that family thing that happens. And these two boys, Hophni and Phinehas, that they're just unruly and they're not doing things according to what priests should do. And Eli hasn't really contained them. He hasn't sorted them out. There is, in chapter 2, we see where there was a message to come to Eli, and yet Eli hasn't really done much to it. So we have this setting now where the boy Samuel has been given to Eli. He is now around 12 years old at this point when these scriptures are written. And he is going to be used by God. And we're going to continue reading in verse 2. At that time, Eli was, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim. So he's an old man. So at that, he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, here I am. And ran to Eli and said, here I am. For you called me. But he said, I didn't call. Lie down again. So he went and laid down. Who knows? This reminds me at this point in time. Has anyone had a child that, you know, wants to continually come out? It's like, go to bed. I'm hungry. Go to bed. I'm thirsty. Go to bed. I need to go to the toilet. This is what really comes to mind when I'm reading this. Anyhow. And the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. We'll continue going. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. In the life of Samuel, in the very first verse there, Samuel is seen ministering to the Lord. That at this point, where it's written in chapter 3, this is the third instance where it's been written down. There's a couple of times in chapter 2 in verse 11 and 18 where it also sees and is written down that Samuel is ministering to the Lord. That Samuel is at work. Remember, he is a 12-year-old boy. He is in the tabernacle. He is doing what Samuel can do. He is opening up the doors. He is doing all kinds of things in what he is capable of doing. So we're talking about the call up of God. When we're talking about God calling us, what I see in the life of Samuel is these preparation days. That today in each of our lives is a preparation day. that God will do something in our lives that will prepare us as we are being used by God. That these days that we have today will make for what will happen tomorrow, the next day, the next day. That as these days that we have to be able to see in the life of Samuel, that his life was ministering in day in and day out in the Lord's house. That God uses these two words when I was looking up what it looked like as Samuel ministered to God. It was preparation equals menial. So preparation, it's not going to be a fanfare. It's not going to be a world-class sportsman. Preparation is the everyday. Preparation is what you do today. Preparation is sometimes repetitive. It is being diligent. It is being consistent. It is showing up. It is ministering to the Lord that today, do you know what? Luke Everson came early in the morning with his team and he set up these chairs. Preparation isn't going to be for everyone being up on a stage, and some people are saying, thank goodness for that. Preparation is menial. We had, and I'm not sure who came up with this stat. I'm going to say Mon because she comes up with everything. But someone came up and worked this out. That True North Church, we have an incredible tribe here that serve and minister to the Lord week in, week out. And there's one particular guy I'd like to highlight today. And there's a photo up here. We have Mark Ingham in the middle here, just under the smiley face. This man has been a part of True North for, I'm not sure how many years, but what we've worked out is that he's been serving for 40 years. 40 years welcoming people. I remember when my 26-year-old was a toddler and we would come into church and he would be trying to get hold of his nose, or he'll pull his cap, or he'll pull his shirt, anything to be able to grab his attention and welcome him into church. And he is still doing it to today. He is learning IT when his age bracket is not accustomed to IT. I see him during the week showing up with Mon, learning technology. How do I get this right so I can welcome people into church? How do I get to that level of a child who sometimes doesn't want to leave mum and dad to be able to show up and welcome them into this space? That there are stories of him that he has met someone at the door and then he's having coffee with them during the week and he's finding out their stories. Sometimes, or all the time, most of the time, preparation is just in the everyday. It's showing up. It's being consistent. And here's the thing, Samuel was ministering to the Lord. All that we do, is that we minister to God and God alone. That I can guarantee you that I will let you down. There has been times that, you know, I've dropped the ball. There'll be times where Dean will drop the ball. There'll be times where people just say silly things. But if our heart is to minister to the Lord and the Lord alone, can I guarantee you there will be just love and joy that comes out of that space as we serve in those places. And the next part is preparation equals contribution. True North Church, we have an incredible tribe. And if you're new here today, welcome to the tribe. So great that you're here. But contribution, when we're talking about ministering to the Lord, what I am super passionate about is about serving, is about being a part of the tribe, is about being a part of the team. Because it has literally changed my life. So I can passionately say to everyone here, your contribution matters. However little, however much you can contribute. That 12-year-old boy, he just jumped in and did it. We have the most dynamic AV year 6 boy team. They show up. They all want to show up on the one day, but it only requires, I think, one or two. They are passionate to serve. They all want to contribute. They all want to do things. But can I say to us this morning that our contribution matters, that there is a place for each and every one of us, not because we want to fill a role, not because we have to fill it, but because I believe what God wants to do in our lives, that we minister to God, that he does something incredible in our lives as we're a part of that team, that we are all on mission together, are we not? We're all on mission together. And so preparation is contribution. So I'd say that to you today. If you're in a space and you've been here at True North, we would love you to be part of the team for no other reason than to create a space where you can minister to the Lord. To create a space where you can minister to the Lord, because I think we miss out when we've not got that opportunity. When God calls, how will we respond? So God called Samuel here. And throughout the night, he is hearing God call him, and he's going to that familiar voice, that person he knew. For all those years of growing up, Eli was that voice in his life. Eli was that one that would call him, where he would respond to. And so in the middle of the night, Samuel, as we worked out, he's not coming to the bathroom or toilet or anything like that. He's responding to this voice. And the person he knew and the voice that he knew was Eli. So he goes to Eli and he says, "Yes, what do you want?" And obediently kept doing that over and over again. As I think about how we answer the call of God, and even as I was reading that scripture, Eli was sleeping between the scriptures talk about how he had the lampstand and he had the ark, both representing the presence of God, the glory of God, and we see Eli sleeping in between that. That as we answer the call of God, I believe the presence of God is something that we need to know. That the voice of God is a voice that we need to be attuned to. Not to those familiar voices, the people that we can see, the people that we know, but to be accustomed and aligned to the voice of God. That we would be able to respond to that call, that we would be able to know that voice that calls us. That it is here in this spot where Samuel's like, "Oh, I know Eli. Eli must be calling me." And he was yet to learn the voice of God. In our lives, I believe that whilst we love gathering on a Sunday, and Sundays are incredible, there is so much more that God wants to do in our lives. That he wants to be a part of every single part of our week. He wants to have those continued conversations outside of a Sunday. He wants to speak in our lives. And how we create spaces for that is that we would quiet ourselves enough, not just to talk to God, but to listen to God. To be able to read the Word of God and allow the Word of God, the truth of God, to dismantle any lies spoken over our lives or any beliefs that we think of ourselves that do not align to the truth of God, who says you are created for a purpose, who says that you are destined for goodness, that says that you are daughters and sons of the Most High God, and that he would speak into our lives the truth of who we are. Because too easy we can hear to, "Oh, that person doesn't like me," or "that person said that against me." But how do we attune our lives to the voice of God? That we would be able to answer God. That as we're on that trajectory of life can take us to all different spaces. But how do we go to that place of God's plans and purposes over our life? Is to know the presence of God in our life, to cultivate that in us, but also to respond and know that voice that speaks truth and life and freedom over each one of our lives. When God calls, sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes our response is, "Just wait a minute, God, and I am going to respond to that call. Just right in this season, I have got babies and children, and their voices are screaming at me. Screaming at me. I can't even hear you, God, in that. And just once this toddler season is done, I will be available to answer your call, God." Or you're in study and you're knee deep in prac and study and all these things. And you're like, "Once that's done and I've got a job, I'm going to be set up. I'll have weekends to myself. Then I'll respond to you." Or you're in these years of working and working hard. And you're like, "Once I retire, I'm nearly on retirement, I'm going to have all the time in the world." Retired people, do you have all the time in the world? No, right? You're looking after grandbabies. You're looking after this. Every day's full. I talk to all the retired friends and they are busy. They are up to things, they're doing things. So let me tell you, from the time of a retired person to all those different spaces, there is not going to be time unless we make time. We make time for the things that are important to us. We make time and the space in our lives to be available to God. I've had this week. I'm like, I'm just cramming in before I go on holidays. It's okay, God. When I'm on holiday, I'm going to have all the time to spend with you. And I was challenged in that. There will always be something that comes at us. The most valuable time that we can set aside is to be able to be available to answer that call, be available to hear what God would say to us. The Lord had prepared Samuel. Samuel responded to God and he says, God, here I am. Speak, for your servant is listening. Let's hear what God says to him. In verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I'll carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned by the sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid. I would be afraid. Be terrified. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, here I am. What is it that he said to you? Eli asked, do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. The Lord was with Samuel, and he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So we have Samuel here, responding to the call of God. There is that preparation in Samuel's life. There was that response to it, say, here I am. Lord, your servant is here listening to you. And then he gets this word. That would be afraid. He has to now say this harsh and hard word to a man that he loves, to the man that he adores, to someone who has been there through all his years of growing. And so now he has to choose to walk in it. Now he's got to choose to walk in. So he's there, he's available to God. And God speaks this word to him as a messenger from God to Eli. And so now Samuel needs to choose to walk in what God has said in his life. That over here, that as you're walking in the truth and what God is saying in our lives, it's not always going to be easy. And can I just say as a sideline, that what God has said here to Samuel, as we've read, he's destined to now be a prophet, and God uses his words in that space. But all that we should say in these moments when God is speaking to us, if we have to go and tell someone, may it be edifying, uplifting, and encouraging, all right? Otherwise, you test it 5 or 6 times beforehand. Always edifying, uplifting, encouraging. But there will be some hard things that God will speak in our lives. Things that will want to grow us, want to stretch us, want to test us. There will be things in it that he would speak to each one of our lives that takes us out of our comfort zone into walking into a bit more of his plans and purposes for our lives. And that's not always going to be an easy walk. That's not always going to be a walk without resistance. That's going to be a walk that if God is speaking and calling to us, a walk that we as here at Tribe of True North would be a courageous people and would walk into those places where God would call us to go. That if he's called it, he's spoken to us. That I know over my life there's been many stretching and growing times. And sometimes there's times where things are really hard, as we heard from Lisa. Those preparation days can be super difficult. Days where, you know, there is hard things that you're dealing with. But in those hard preparation days, I know for my life, where I knew grace, but boy, did I have to learn grace to be able to give grace. And those days don't always come when there is no resistance, when there is no hard things that we're battling. There are good things that God takes out of those bad things in our lives that prepares us for plans and purposes that he sees. We don't see what tomorrow holds, but God knows what tomorrow holds. He knows what tomorrow holds for each one of our lives. I'm going to invite the band to come up now. And as we wrap up, I was reminded as of a call up that I had. It feels like it was yesterday. It was 15 years ago. And I was just meandering through Kmart. It was a Friday. It was a great day to go shopping. Everyone loves Kmart. And a friend of mine at the time, a senior pastor, and she rang up and I thought, oh, this is going to be good. Games night, movie time, we're doing massages, all these sorts of things. It'll be a good day. And she rang up and she said, Michelle, there's a position coming up for a children's pastor role. Would you apply for it? And I immediately laughed at her. It was never, ever on the radar. Actually, Brad's here. I went to Brad for the interview. For whatever reasons, that did not work out. But it did something in me that prepared me. But then this week, even as I was thinking of this message, go back probably a year before that, and we had had these night services that we had started up, and there was no kids' ministry taking place. And I just felt God saying, go and lead that space so then families can come. And so I just went and I led, and there wasn't a lot of kids, but I was obedient in that space to be able to do what God told me to do. And I wonder now if that was preparation to a call that would say, would you like to take this role? To many other yeses, with a simple response in my life to say, God, here I am. I love just being behind the scenes and all of that. So to take and say yes to that next step, I don't think I've grown as much or stretched as much or had the most amazing time in my life. Afraid, 100%. Excited, 100%. All the mixed emotions in there. But today, as we respond to God and this message, I just love to call anyone, and I'd love for you to stand on your feet now, even if you could. Stand up. And as a response that maybe today, I just would love to invite anyone that would just respond to God with this simple thing. To be able to say, God, here I am. Here I am. Doesn't matter about the next steps. I just really feel this space of saying, with no agenda, no nothing, but to simply say, here I am, God. And if that's you and you want to just live that life, just open hands before God, I'm going to actually invite you to come down the front. We'd just love to pray for you. We've got our prayer teams here. And to be honest, as we do that, God can do all kinds of things in your world. God can do the most incredible, unbelievable things. I stand here today and think, wow, only because of God. Only because of God. He can do the most incredible things in our lives. So as we do that, I'd love to, as the band plays, if that's you and you want to respond to God this morning and say, God, here I am. Here I am. And we're just going to simply pray for you down the front here.
won't you come forward as the team lead us?